Good morning. Thank you for streaming in live with us in Antioch, Wichita. A little bit about us. We're just a church in the inner city of Wichita that is longing to see God's kingdom come, whatever his passion is. We want that to be our passion. We believe in the most broken, those folks that are stuck, and we believe in those who want to come alongside and serve and see this city and the nations change for his glory. And so we are part of the Antioch network of churches that are all over the United States, and we have teams all over the world, and it's just our heart just to follow after Jesus in all things. And so if you're new here, we welcome you. You can go on our website and just click on any of our info to get more info about us. You can give us your email. But that's just who we are, just a city who loves Wichita. And if you're streaming with us today and you've never been here before, welcome. We want to love on you and pray on you through this season and after. And so, welcome. And so, I'll tell you a little story. Share something that the Lord has spoken over me in the years in past, and doing it again. And it's this. It started with this. In my teen years, things were rocky at home, having issues, both ends, living with my dad at one time, living with my mom at one time, in Canada versus Kansas or California, a little bit all over the place. And I remember just wanting to honor my family. I have a great mom and dad and love them, but things were rough and things weren't well. And I remember thinking to myself, 16, 17, right in those years where everything was really getting crazy. I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I don't need anybody to raise me. I can raise myself and do a better job than what I'm doing right now. And so I remember leaving home, moving out, lived in some rough places, as many of you know the stories, but I just remember thinking from that point on, the only person that I could ever rely on consistently was myself. I was the one that had to take care of myself. Didn't matter how old I was. I just had a strong work ethic early, and I was just going to not rely or lean on anybody else anymore. I felt like I was let down by everybody, and some of that's my own doing. But in the end, I just had this thing built into me that said, I don't count on anybody else. I'm just going to do this on my own. Years later, even as a believer, we were in Southeast Asia a few years ago, and we came home, and I had something weird with one of my eyes. This eye, I started to have an oval in my eye, and just a dark spot, and had to go to all these retinologists and eye doctors and trying to figure out what I have. And it's this weird form of macular degeneration that was caused by something. They don't know exactly what it is. But I remember in those days, as I usually do when something comes up like this, instead of taking it to the Lord, I take it to Rob and WebMD. And so, you know, catastrophic diagnosis of myself. And don't laugh at me. I know some of you have done the same thing. And I remember thinking one of my greatest thoughts was, if this gets worse or I can't see, I'm going to have to rely on people to drive me around, to help me with work. And really, one of the biggest issues I had that was ticking me off was I couldn't be self-reliant, and I had to rely on other people. Now, obviously, I still have issues with my eye. I'm still driving, which is still legal, by the way. I'm still good. But I have this horrible tendency that started early in life and continues on now sometimes, not as much as it used to, but it still rears its ugly head, where I, even as a believer, I say I'm in Christ reliance mode, and instead I'm leaning on me and my own understanding. And so, and for all of us, from no matter what walk of life we are in, there comes a time and point in our life, and especially in faith, if you're a believer, and if you're not a believer, this pertains to everybody, but especially for believers, is where we seem to take our dependence issues into Christendom and into our faith and into our relationship with God. Now, we don't say it externally. We don't say, I'm just relying on myself. We sing songs of, you know, leaning on the everlasting arms. We sing songs about it. But in the end, when it comes to security in our heart and in our mind, it's really more about Am I healthy? Do I have money in the bank? Do I have a job? Are my kids okay? Etc. And you get what I'm saying. And so I believe that coming to an understanding of that, by the way, you're not a piece of trash. You're a sinner living in the flesh that needs to walk in the newness of Jesus and the righteousness of God. And we all from time to time have to stop and go, wait a minute, who am I? And I have this conversation a lot. I'm not talking about what you say to anybody except between what your heart says to the Lord and what you trust. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, about dissecting ourselves in, listen, coronavirus season is, again, and y'all might be getting tired of me saying this, it's going on 7 weeks. This crisis is probably one of the biggest blessings for this topic that we can hold on to. Again, financial security, all those things are waning. And a lot of us are freaking out. And in this season, it's an amazing time to be in a place, a litmus test of life, where you go, okay, I am really holding on to Jesus, praise God. And for a lot of us, I am really freaking out and I'm not leaning on Jesus, not for condemnation, not to hate ourselves, but to run into the arms of Jesus and remind ourselves who we lean on. Amen. And so usually, why do we struggle with dependency and leaning on the Lord? Sometimes just how we're programmed. And by the way, God has given us, I mean, there's not always a bad thing about an independent spirit. An independent spirit, it only becomes something sinful when it's independent of God. And so you could be independent, a hard worker, a go-getter, a trailblazer, all those things. But in the kingdom, there's no mavericks. We are called to be dependent on the Lord. And so pride, a lot of us are saying, well, if I rely on somebody else, it's weakness. And we live in that society where the more you depend on other people, the more we feel like we're weak. You don't have this, a lack of trust. So because I've got my baggage, and we'll talk about more a little bit later, you got mommy issues, dad issues, sibling issues, spouse issues, ex issues, whatever it is, you have transposed that and a lack of trust on the Lord. And fear, just letting go of, we can all let go of some things, but letting go of everything, our children, our livelihood, our health. There's a lot of fear in that you have to overcome with the Lord. And so we want to dissect a little bit today and just talk about what it is, if that's us, to be reminded, to be encouraged that the God of heaven is patient, he's loving, he's in control, and he's worthy of our trust, and he calls us to lean on him. And so the scriptures are clear, to have a life full of restoration and power in the Lord, we must depend on a source greater than ourselves. And so question, if we were going to be honest with one another, who do we really rely on across the board? And so we're going to talk about that. So go to the Word. This is a very known piece of scripture, and I'm just going to talk about it a little bit at a 30,000 feet level, not go all the way in, just talk about a few things. But in John 15:5, it's a great, great, great part of scripture in John chapter 15. And Jesus says this, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. So interesting terminology that Jesus uses here. And so he starts off with, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, scripturally, historically, the vine symbolized the nation of Israel. And because the vine is familiar in the Old Testament, it was also often used as this negative connotation sometimes. But in contrast, and why it's important, why Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, he's not simply just giving a picture of something that he might be near. I can imagine Jesus being by some vines and branches, which he does a lot. He's very story, just right in your face, animated, just taking things from the world and teaching through it. But it has a deeper meaning. You know, vine as Israel was weakened. And Jesus says, I am the vine. And so what he's saying is you got to be rooted in me, not in Israel. And if you do, you will bear fruit for God and kingdom. So simple story, you know, a branch is connected to a vine. And as you know, this is not life-changing information, but a vine is the essential life force for the branch. If a branch is not connected to a vine, what happens? It dies. It doesn't produce fruit. It's not healthy. It's not living anymore. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I am the source. I am the food. I am the security. I am the power. I am the life spring. And you are the things that are connected to it. And so a follower of Jesus is the branch dependent on Jesus, the vine, not a little, but completely. Imagine for a second if a branch in a vine was just, a branch was just kind of connected to them, maybe getting some nutrients or whatnot. But in the end, you know as well as I do, it will perish. And so Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And then he goes on to say, whoever abides in me and I in him. And so quick definition, what does it mean to abide? Jesus says, if you abide in me and me in you, literally means the place our dependence is on, what we rely on. If you abide in me, if you stay close, if you draw near, you're in, I like to say sometimes the shadow of God, not out on our own, but under his covering. If you abide in me, what Jesus is saying is, I am where you need to be. Where I am, where my heart is, where my will is, where my call is, where my presence is, where my spirit is, that's where you need to be. When? All the time. In every scenario, in every place, in every trauma, in every glorious day, God and his presence and his power and his heart are in one place in every situation, and we need to be in there. So this isn't about what you need to do. Jesus is not saying, be a good branch. He's saying this. He says, it's about where you need to be. It's not about what you need to do. It's about where you need to be, and that's in him, that's with him, that's remaining in his presence. Scripture goes on to say, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. And then it goes, he it is that bears much fruit. I like the imagery of this. Much fruit. You know, you can have a raggedy tree, a couple of apples or whatever you grow in your backyard. We don't grow anything. I like plastic things and concrete, but some of you know it's my dream to have a house that literally extends the entire property and there isn't a blade of grass or a tree anywhere. It's just me. I'm a weird basement dweller kid, but I don't have a green thumb. Don't want a green thumb. Moving on. But this idea of much fruit, God just doesn't want to use his people and bring his love out of people in little ways. When have you ever seen God work like that? God is a God of abundance. God is a God of a lot. God is a God of power and supernatural. And so he does much. You will bear much fruit. There'll be a lot of fruit that comes out of your life. And so the purpose of the branch is to bear fruit, period. But the purpose of our life is to bear much fruit through him. And so in the midst of crazy seasons, even like coronavirus season, we can bear much fruit for the kingdom of God and what he wants. Much fruit. There are a lot of goodness that can come to us and in us. And so Jesus didn't indicate the nature of fruit. And so what does it mean? Well, fruit is just a product of what you are. I mean, if you're an apple tree, then bearing apples is proof that you're an apple tree. It's and not just a couple apples. You want to be an abundant fruit developer. And so it's bearing a lot of goodness. So what's inside of you is coming out and you're producing things that are alive. And so we know that fruit can be restoration and fruit can be new believers and churches. I think it's simple to expound on what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And so the more we're connected to Jesus, the more we abide in him, the more much fruit will come out. And so what is the fruit of the Spirit? Many of you know this, grew up in Sunday school doing it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I mean, man, think about it. The more we abide in Him, the more those things come out of us. And we can't do it on our own. We can produce little seedlings and things on our own, but when we abide in Him and lean on Him, we can have supernatural love that comes out of us, supernatural joy in any season, supernatural peace, supernatural kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, when we depend on Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't produce a lot of those things on my own, but man, I want to abide and lean into Jesus. It doesn't tell me to do stuff. It tells me to abide, be close to Him. It doesn't tell me to produce good fruit. It tells me that when I'm connected to Him, it will produce much fruit. And then so the end of this part of this verse in is, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, when Jesus says you can do nothing, people will ask the question, well, there's a lot of people on the face of the earth that do something, right? They don't, there are people that don't love Jesus that are making lots of money and they have children. Some of them seem to be happy, you know, all of those things seemingly. And here's the deal. God's grace is over the entire earth, where He allows even people that mock Him and blaspheme Him and tear Him apart or doubt Him, He allows even those people to live on this earth, to see creation, to taste of the food, to enjoy each other, all of these things. God allows those things. But here's the deal. All those things are temporary. They're temporary. They don't last forever. Only the things that matter, really something that matter, are eternal. And you don't do any of those things outside of Him. When I go and be with Jesus, when it comes to like being a dad or being a husband, I'm not very good at just trying to do that on my own. I'm really not. But what I want to leave is a legacy of what Christ did and how He restored me. And I want to bear fruit in a way for the kingdom and for Jesus, because those are the only thing. If I love all my kids every day of my life, like super dad, help them get jobs and give them a huge inheritance. And in the end, they're so successful in life, but in the end, they don't have Christ. I have failed miserably, and I can only do that with Him. And I want that for them more than anything in my life. Self-reliant fruit will all eventually rot, but kingdom fruit will last forever, the good urban scholar W.R. Dans once said. It applies to my marriage, my kids, my job, use of money, the church. I want to have to lean on Jesus amongst anything. And listen to this. This just resonates with my core, something God put on my heart. The people that depend on you need you to depend on Jesus. The people that depend on you need you to depend on Him. It's necessary. So here's a few things as I walk through, and just some points that I want you to take away from this, and just to stir your heart a little bit about this. What can we do, or how do we diagnose ourselves when it comes to our dependency on Jesus? And I think there's some indicators of what we can grab onto and some things we need to let go of. And so a lack of dependency, a lack of leaning on Jesus, it can be a love problem. One of my favorite amazing haha yes slash horrifically hard verses to tackle that I've preached on over the last 15 years, and every time it brings me to my knees and my heart, is Revelation 2, 1 through 5, something we've talked about a lot as a church. It's appropriate in this season. It says this, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of Him who holds the seven stars on His right hand, who walks among seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Again, for us, it's a very familiar scripture. So many good things they were doing. And Jesus commends them for that in this revelation to the Apostle John. One major problem was that they were doing it for him and not from him. Just a reoccurring theme that we have to talk about. They were doing good things, but they had walked away from the motivation, the love, the core of what they were doing. And when you operate for him instead of from him, you're always going to end up short and lacking on power. And you're not doing him any favors by doing stuff for him. He doesn't need a tool in his hand. He doesn't need a gardening tool. He's looking for co-laborers filled with his power and presence and with overflow. Like evangelism, for him versus from him, two very different things. It's not about you. It's about his power. Marriage, for him. All right, God says we have to be married and I have to honor you, versus from him, like the peace that passes understanding, the love, the agape love that God gives a man and a woman to give one another. Doing it from him is the only way. Recovery, coming out of your addictions, dealing with mental illness. The more you keep trying to do it for him, I'm a Christian, so I've got to be sober, or I've got to be sane, or I've got whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life with your money, doesn't matter what it is. If it's for him, it's going to come up short. If it's from him, it's always going to come alive. And so maybe you're having a lack of dependency on him and leaning on him because you've maybe forsaken your first love for a bit. And Jesus is saying, hey, come back here. I will do so much through you and in you if you would abide in me and lean on me. It's another thing to just kind of know about leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus is birthed in knowing our true identity. For those of us who understand and comprehend, not just here, but here, that we are sons and daughters of the living God, that we're new creations, and I know most of us know this in our minds, but our hearts, it's a different deal. If we find ourselves having trouble leaning on Jesus, it means there could be a problem with knowing who we really are in Christ Jesus. We know Matthew 6, 25 through 34, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or what you'll drink, not about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. But listen, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about coronavirus. Don't be anxious about not having a job. Don't be anxious about what's up with your kids or what's going on with your family. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. You can't control what's going to happen in 3 weeks from now, 2 days from now, 10 years from now. Sufficient is this day for its own trouble. You got to keep your eyes on what's going on today. And this, listen, the birds, beautiful, right? They're fed, right? Taken care of, right? The birds, Are you not more valuable than they are? And then moving on, like the lilies, they grow beautiful, splendor beyond Solomon, beautiful clothes as far as their feathers and how wonderful they are. But aren't you much more value to him than lilies and birds? The answer is this, not what you say with your mouth, but what we believe with our heart with that question. If any of my children came up to me, my 7-year-old Naomi, I come home and she's having a fit and I'm looking at her and she's worrying and she's weeping and she's scratching out and I try slowing her down and asking her what's wrong and she's running from here to there and she's just really freaking out. So I sit her down just hypothetically and I talk to her and I say, honey, what on earth is wrong with you? And she begins to unpack that she has been freaking out all day long about her next meal and where she's going to get clothing and how she's going to be taken care of. Imagine that conversation. I would look at her and say, wait a minute, haven't I always fed you? Haven't I always taken care of you? Haven't I always put clothes on your back? Haven't Mama and I always loved you and your brothers and sisters? And imagine if I had that conversation at home with my little girl. The point is, I'm her daddy. And as long as I am here and I am still with her, I am, which I'm not leaving until Jesus takes me back, I'm never going to let her go without. Always going to take care of her. I would be heartbroken if she said that to me because give me one instance where I didn't take care of you. And I feel like God's just reminding us as we freak out about stuff and we don't lean on him. He's like, wait a minute. You are my son. You are my daughter. When have I never taken care of you? When did I not cover your needs? When did I not make sure you had enough? We have to seek him first always. Leaning on Jesus is found in trust. Psalms 40, verses 3 through 4, he put a new song in my mouth and a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Listen, we put our trust in the Lord when we come into salvation and we receive this free gift from Jesus. But listen, that's once. This is a daily time, a daily sacrifice, a daily offering at the feet of Jesus in trusting him. Jesus, you've been good to me and I lay my son or my daughter on the altar. I lay our home on the altar. I lay my health, this coronavirus. God, I lay this thing on your altar. Y'all, that's an everyday offering in our heart. Not to gain anything from him because we have him. But to remind ourselves and our hearts that we need to trust the Lord. I want to rely on myself because people have broken my trust. And I don't trust very many people, honestly, especially after I've had issues with them. I try to walk through in love and forgiveness, but we have this thing called the Dan's shutoff, where if I've been through the loops with you and you've brought brokenness on me and that I just want to shut people off and never deal with that again. And that's been a reoccurring theme in my life because of this. And in the end, that will be so detrimental to my relationship with the Lord because he's never let me down. He's worthy of my trust. He's a daddy that's never going anywhere. He will always be there. You will be let down by people, all of them, at one point or another. But you will never be let down by Jesus, and he will never let you go. Just a couple more of these I want to talk to you about. Again, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but the Lord allows things to happen in our lives so that we will see that we must lean on him. It's, by the way, it's grace. Going through hard times that lead us to run back to Jesus and to hold on to him, it's grace. It's his grace. And you say, well, that sounds kind of sadistic. That's kind of weird. No, it's not, because all of the power and all of the healing and all of the freedom that we desperately need is found only at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes the Heavenly Father allows us to go through the brokenness of this world that is man-made. He doesn't just pull us up out of it, but we made the mess. And He allows us to go through those things to remind us. We talked about it a little bit last week, but in the text in 2 Corinthians, Paul, he has this thing, it's this thorn in his flesh, and he prays to the Lord three times to take it away. And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And at the end of that, Paul just says, Paul just really goes into this. He says, therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because you're leaning into the everlasting arms of God who are not weak. excuse me, that was 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9 says this, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on us, but on God who raises the dead. Paul again, felt like we were on the verge of death, but it was to move us into relying on God who raises the dead. Weakness in the upside down kingdom of God is strength, because when we put ourselves in His hands, He is power. Listen, you can't do this. You can't. You can't do all this stuff on your own. I can't do this stuff on my own. And as much as it pains me to say I can't do something because I am stubborn and independent, fiercely independent, I need Jesus. And I need other people that look like Jesus and talk like Jesus and are loved by Jesus. Like I need Him. And it's His grace that He has allowed me to go through garbage. I've gone through so much stuff, and so have you. And the sweetest thing always is I just come to the end of myself, just like we've talked before, I just want to tap out. And then I'm like, oh, Lord, I just can't do it. I need You. And then like always, that grace that brought me there opens up a sweet door of dependence of His grace. And it's a gift. The most powerful things in our lives don't come from what we can handle or what we're good at, but they come from the things that we cannot handle and we cannot do, that we must surrender to Jesus and allow Him to do His work in us. Amen. And just lastly, just this, leaning into Jesus is something that can't wait. There's this interesting scripture in Ecclesiastes, and I use the New Living Translation for this just to just be clear. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 7 says this. Listen to this. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember Him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember Him before the door of life's opportunities closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caper berry, no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember Him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Do you get it? There's something about us being strong and dependent and having good eyesight and our backs being good. And there's something about that that creates this weird, it happens to everybody, self-reliance. And in the scriptures, and Solomon's just calling out, he's saying, listen, before those things fade, remember him. Look to him, rely on him, depend on him. Because why? All of these physical things are going to fade. That's how it works. Since the fall of man, dust returns to dust. The strongest, most amazing financial people and muscular people and all those things and you know, all of these things we rely on in our physical sense, which are a gift from God, by the way. But they always fade. We always get weaker as this goes in our physicality as we get closer to seeing Jesus. It's that way because of the curse. And we should look, and before we get to, and by the way, if you've not walked with the Lord your whole life and you're in those last days, this isn't saying you can't turn then. It's saying for those of us who hear, we need to heed this and listen, know him, surrender to him, remember him, because he is our true strength and our true power. And I just tell you, the older you get in faith, the more you realize you need Jesus. I just am dumbfounded by what I see in the older generation that inspires me, and that are people who just completely rely on Jesus. And so much of the young, wild things that they were back in the day have died out, and they've just come into a deep dependence. And for many of us who've gone through the ringer, I believe that's where a sweet place is for us to be. So what does a life dependent on Jesus look like? Just simple things. People as dependent on his word. By the way, not just reading it, but depending on it, leaning on it, gleaning life from it. People who are dependent on him in prayer, not just saying a prayer, but a dependency on Jesus who talks to us and listens to us. He speaks through his spirit to us and through his word. And as we pray, it's not just a blah, 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 blah. It's a conversation between us and the God of heaven. You having that conversation with him and learning to pray that way will bring an increase. Man, once you meet with the Lord, once you meet and you felt him and heard his voice and his word has come alive, you know you have to depend on something bigger than yourself. Tons of other examples. We'll just cut short today. Just living in your gifting by the Holy Spirit. God has given us fruit of the Spirit, but he's also given us gifts of the Spirit. And the more we rely on these gifts to come out of us and walk through that, man, the more we just depend on God. But the more we depend on God, the more supernatural things happen in our lives. Seeking him first in every area of our jobs, our families, our children, our finances, everything. Depending on God in this church. Like, Jesus, we need you and you alone to come. That's why we are so particular about our elders and who leads in this church and our ministry leaders. We want people who are gifted and stuff, but their gifting isn't the biggest gift that they give to the church. It's their dependency on God who works through their gifting and brings supernatural change. All the stuff we've learned can fail us. Jobs can fail us. Savings can be depleted. Health, relationships, things you have built on your own can fail and crumble. But in the end, when we're leaning on Jesus, some of those things, if all of those things, potentially will fall away. But we will be those who built their house on the rock. That is Jesus. And when you live a life that's dependent on Jesus, man, you can have so much victory over fear. You can have so much peace that comes only from God, because you know that he is your source. We can do more for the kingdom. Jesus is glorified more when we depend on him. People get the best us when we depend on him. Amen. Ministries flourish when we depend on him. The supernatural flows. Addictions are crushed. Brokenness is crushed. New family legacies are birthed when we depend on Jesus. So my question for you is this. This is a great time to take our head up out of the sand, slow down a minute. The world is going nuts, and go, okay, what am I doing? Jesus, who am I relying on? Hey, and if the answer is I'm relying on Jesus, man, praise God. Keep praying, keep going. And you know that there'll be seasons when they're tested. But if something inside of you, a little or a lot, said, man, I'm not fully relying on Jesus. Guess what? This is a blessing to you, because we can stop right now and we can go before the King of Heaven, who is full of grace and mercy and patience and love for you, where He wants us and allows us and calls us to bring these things to Him, lay them at His feet, and crawl back in His lap. I believe He's calling us a lot of us to do that today. I'm one of them. And so just encourage you to spend time in prayer and really just seek Him and just say, Jesus, I just having a hard time laying over this coronavirus thing. I'm having a hard time laying over the job thing. I'm having a hard time with this stuff in my relationships or my loneliness. I'm having a hard time laying these things over to you. And the God of heaven will meet you there. If you are not a believer in Christ Jesus and you've been leaning on yourself, guess what? He loves you so much. And He's been patient with you more than you'll ever know. And maybe you've even cursed Him at one time or walked away, whatever it was. The God of heaven is always there beckoning and calling to us to come to Him. And so if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus today, it's not about checking a box on a card. It's not about any of that. It's about you getting real, maybe for the first time, and having a conversation right there in your room of this. Jesus, I need you. Lord, forgive my sins. God, I am a sinner, but Lord, I want to believe, and I do believe that you are the God of heaven, that you died for my sins, and I just want to lay my life in your hands. And when you fully surrender that heart over to the Lord, it's not just the conversation. The conversation is the doorway. The prayer is the doorway, but it's the road that you get on that brings the restoration and where you flesh out and work out your salvation. That's why the church is so necessary. And if you're on here and you want to do that today, we have so many people who love to pray for you and walk through with you. If you are somebody that is a believer, you've been struggling, we want to pray for you. We want to talk to you. You guys can email us at prayer@antiochwichita.org and just share your heart with us or message us through the site. But we want to walk you through that. So I'm going to pray for us and just want to bless you. And so let's just surrender our hearts right now in prayer together. Lord Jesus, I'm just thankful that your word is so sweet and so good and such a tender reminder of how much we need you. Lord, we for those of us who love you, Lord, we just get into this, just like Israel, this self-sustaining rut of doing it on our own and forgetting where our source is. And in your grace and by the blood of Jesus, God, you have allowed us and you to sustain and to stay above, destruction. But God, you are beckoning and calling us back to you. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that are followers of you, Lord, that confess today that we've been holding on to some things on our own, Jesus, and relying on ourselves. Lord, I just pray that you'd receive that back. Lord, I pray for those of us that are believers that have been living that way our entire walk. We've been secure in Jesus, kind of, and then in our finances or in our job or in our families. And now that we're seeing a lot of that rocked, Lord, we don't know what to do. Lord, I pray that there's a full surrender of folks in that. And Lord, I pray for anybody on here today or in the future that watches this or listens to this, that if they surrendered their heart to you today, God, you would just fill that room with your presence and your power, Lord Jesus, and your spirit would come upon them, Lord God, and fill them with your presence, and they would engage in your church and be changed forever. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord. Love you for our time today. Love you for everything. Love you for every breath. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.